Matthew, and out of reverence for the gospel, I'd ask you to stand for the reading. This is Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Hear now the word of God. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far away from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
I was kind of out and about yesterday afternoon. Scott and I were running errands and things and missed a lot of the coverage of the things that were going on in Charlottesville. And so when I got home last night, I, of course, pulled up Facebook and began to see videos of news media who had made videos of all the things that had happened. And I was overwhelmed by what I saw. I watched a group of clergy, must have been 50 or 60 clergy, walking down the street, arm in arm, silent, coming up to the place where these white supremacists were going to be gathering to have their rally. And it was just overwhelming to me to see them coming and them standing arm in arm, praying with all for and with all of God's people. And as they were standing there, they were taunted by these people who, in the name of God, were gathering, they said, to demonstrate over something they didn't agree with. Wow. And then I watched another video. It was a very explicit video of the car that somebody just drove into a crowd of people. And I thought, wow. And then I was reminded of today's scripture and for the lesson that we had before us today. And I must admit that I really identified with those disciples as they were struggling against the storm. It's hard living in the world today. There are many scary things happening around us. We wonder what kind of world our children will grow up in. And sometimes it seems that hate and division have just taken over and are going to win. And we're struggling just to keep our heads up out of the water. Let's remember the context of this particular passage of Scripture. Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. He has fed them with five loaves and two fish. And he sends the crowd away. Their bodies are satisfied. And so now he feels the need to feed himself spiritually, and he sends his disciples away, and then he goes up on the mountain to pray. In prayer and meditation, in this quiet time alone, he communes with his heavenly Father to recharge his spiritual life, to renew the spiritual strength in his soul, because you see, he knows what's coming down the road. Violence and hatred are going to be played out toward him. And now the disciples, they're out on the Sea of Galilee. Now the Sea of Galilee is not really a sea. It's kind of a large lake. It's 4.5 miles wide and about 7 miles long. And it's known for its very tumultuous storms because of the way that it's located, with mountains and on one side, and it's just a place where storms can just come up at a second's notice. And those storms become very, very treacherous. Winds will come from nowhere, and boats can get capsized, and in the tumult of the water, people will lose their lives. And so you had to be very, very careful. And all of these boats, they were small boats. They didn't have motors. They were having to row. Crossing the lake could be a difficult, difficult venture. And these are some of the obstacles that Jesus' disciples are facing. First, they are crossing the sea at night. And consequently, they can't really see. Visibility is a problem. They're out there in the dark, kind of groping around and hoping that they're rowing in the right direction. Another difficulty they have is that it must be cloudy because there is a storm forming. And so they can't see the stars up in the sky, and that's how they would have, that would be what would directed them across the sea so that they could get to the other side safely. They didn't have that. So they had no way of knowing their sense of direction. And then add to that the fact that the wind of the storm is not with them, but against them. It's blowing in their face. And so they're having to work harder and harder and harder just to get to stay where they are. That has to be difficult. And then on top of all of that, not only do they have to row the boat and row against the wind, they're just trying to get across. And they are feeling overwhelmed. They're not getting anywhere. They're not making much headway. And the writer puts it this way: they are being beaten by the waves. There they are, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the lake, being tossed to and fro, making no progress, tired, frustrated, drained, depleted, scared, fearful, confused. They may have even been a little bit miffed at Jesus for leaving them alone. Where is that master now? Where is he when we need him so desperately? We're tired, we're worn, we're defeated. We are in danger of being overwhelmed. Where are you, Jesus? Can you identify with their plight at all? I watch the news. I see what's happening around us. And I see it happening in our worlds, but I see it in my life too sometimes. Do you see it in yours? You just feel like you're rowing and you're rowing, and you can't get anywhere. You're just standing still, treading water. But then look what happens. Jesus, in his prayer time, wherever he was, knew that there were difficulties going on with the disciples. And he was aware of their plight, and he went straight toward them. He'd been close by all along, closer than they even realized. And he comes to them. He comes to help them. He comes to save them. Through the wind and the storm and the danger and the chaos and the disorder and the disruption, here is Jesus walking towards them. Isn't that the way that he comes to us? He comes when we least expect him, when we most need him. He comes in the dead of the night. He comes in the thick of a storm. And when it's darkest and it's most tumultuous, he comes to us. And we are not alone. Now look at the remarkable courage of Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter. Open mouth, insert foot, Simon Peter. He said, "Lord, if it's you, come and let me walk out to you on the water." Christ says, "Come on. Come to me." And so Peter gets up and he walks to Jesus on the water. For a moment, he is living this miracle. But what happens next? Peter looks around. And he sees the storm raging all around him, and he gets scared. And what happens? He goes back down into the water. And the Lord reaches over and pulls him back out. And they get into the boat, and the storm subsides. The winds stop, and there's calm. William Barclay has a fascinating quote about this story, and he says, "See what happened immediately. When Jesus saw that his friends were in trouble, his own problems were set aside. The moment for prayer had passed, and the time for action had come. He forgot himself and went to help his friends." That is the very essence of our Lord. The cry of human need surpassed all other claims. His friends needed him. He had to go. That same message comes to us today. When the world needs us, we need to go. We don't need to sit around in our prayer closets. Prayer is a wonderful thing. We all need to pray. We all need to recharge our spiritual batteries. But the time comes to act and to stand up for what we believe in. To walk with Jesus will be for us also the conquest of the storm. So now that we've got all of that kind of background information, let me just give you three very quick lessons that I think come out of this story. The first one is, we all get caught in the storms of life, don't we? I don't have to tell you that. You know that. It's a fact. We live in a stormy, tumultuous world. And life is not an easy ride across a smooth, flat plateau. Not even for Christians. It gets bumpy. There are mountaintops. There are valleys. Things don't go the way we want them to. We just have to muscle through it. Think of it. Inflation, depression, population, crime, fear, anxiety, grief, heartache, pressure, stress. We all know what those are. Life for many people today have become strained and somber. We feel heavy laden. We feel cast down. We feel burdened. We feel like we are caught in the midst of a storm. Now, here is the place that the scriptures tells us where faith can help. We can cast our burdens on the Lord. We can cast our burdens on the Lord. If we keep moving and keep rowing and look at Him with our eyes, He will come to our aid. He will come with strength and with peace and with confidence. Which brings us quickly to lesson number 2. When we are in those difficult, stormy situations, Christ will come to us in special ways. If I were to ask you this morning to recall those moments in your life when you felt God's presence most vividly, most dramatically, most powerfully, there might be a few who would recall some high holy worship experience, or some may remember a joyous event or a victorious moment. But most of us would remember a difficult time in our lives. Maybe a time of sorrow and sadness, of tragedy or crisis, or sickness or injury, or misfortune or heartache. And if you look back, you see that God comes to us. God comes to us in the midst of those difficult times, bringing us hope, bringing us strength, bringing us help. Which takes us to lesson number 3. In these kinds of situations, when our eyes are fixed on Christ, we can do incredible things. And when we take our eyes off of Christ, we sink. Simon Peter looked at Christ. He walked on the water. He took his eyes off Christ and he looked at the waves and down he went. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can do incredible things. I pray that amid all the difficulties that we are facing in our world and in our nation right now, as well as the difficulties that we feel in our own personal lives, that we can fix our eyes on Christ and believe that we can do incredible things and boldly step out of the boat, unafraid to face whatever storm might come our way. I must admit that as I watched the video last night of the clergy in Charlottesville, they were marching arm in arm, I wanted to be there with them. I wanted to stand in that place. That's kind of unusual for me. But that's what Christ is calling us to do. Christ is calling us to get out of the boat. Have faith. Move forward. Share love and peace, not hate and violence. As we approach the table this morning, I pray that we will remember that. Christ knew the violence that we saw this weekend, but yet He loved us all, even to death. And He asks us to remember that. So today I hope you will, and that you will go and live that way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.